Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so excited because today I have Alexandra with me and I met her years ago. She is a phenomenal woman, has done so much in her short period of life. But I am so excited to have her today because I really just admire her and her journey of being an entrepreneur. She's an e-commerce entrepreneur, so it's a little bit different, but she is definitely going to dive into that for us today. So Alexandra, please introduce yourself and then we'll get started.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here. So a little bit about myself, you know, as many immigrant stories out there, I was born in Peru and came to the States when I was 10. It was just my mom and I, and I don't necessarily have the typical story of I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, although I do wish, I do think that my mom wished that I did. But the one thing I did know was that I really wanted to have an extraordinary life. So my life, I'm 27 now, it's a mix of really trying to try different careers, exploring different talents and creating a formula of work and passion. So I went to school for political science, but I got into e-commerce a few years back and recently sold my brand. It's a very, very, very small business, but you know, that's when I really realized that one of my talents is to grow things. So I am an e-commerce entrepreneur and consultant, and I'm currently trying to mastermind how I can use all of my talents and use them to create something new. So if you are someone out there that's still figuring out what they want to do with their lives, I am too. So don't feel bad.
I love that. I think it just kind of humbles everybody out too and like puts it in real perspective of that you don't have to know exactly what you want to do at the age of 17, 18 when you're graduating high school and being like, what's next? And it's okay to change. I know I changed in my late 20s as well. And I think it's great to know that there's still so much success that we can have. But I'm curious because I know you just mentioned too that you recently sold your brand. What was that like for you?
I think I learned two main things. The first thing is if you're trying to build something, always get a co-founder. Don't do it by yourself. And the second thing is, you know, selling it is great because it makes you realize that anything really is possible. Mm-hmm. So I would say it really challenges all the stories that you have about either money or businesses or success. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's not as hard as you would think. And that's something that we all need to understand.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great perspective too with like having a co-founder. So it's not just you doing everything by yourself, because I think a lot of people, there's a misconception of like being an entrepreneur, just like it looks so great. Like when you see the highlights of people's lives, but the hustle and the everyday and maintaining that, but then also scaling and growing can be really exhausting when you're doing it all alone.
Absolutely. That is the one reason why I sold it, because I didn't want to do it by myself anymore. It was insane.
I believe that. And I would love to talk a little bit more because I know like the health and fitness world is so important to you as well. But how do you think that played a part in your entrepreneurial journey so far?
Health and wellness?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main reasons why I was able to really create something for myself was because I found this man called Joe Dispenza like 4 or 5 years ago, randomly. And in the beginning, I thought, this guy is really weird. What the hell is he talking about? And then I realized that if I really wanted to do this, and that was, my brand had not started yet. I was barely getting into e-commerce. For myself, I never really thought that you can make money online. So I decided, okay, if I'm going to start in e-commerce, I need to believe that you can make money online, because otherwise, why would I get into the space? So I started really challenging every belief that I had, even about money or just relationships and people. So I started doing his meditations, and if anybody knows who this guy is and does the meditations, you start seeing that things start changing really fast and really weird things start happening all the time. Yes. And there's synchronicities, now I'm used to it, and I love that I'm used to miracles being a normal part of life, because that's really not for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I started really following his programs, and I can say now, looking back, that is probably the main reason why I was able to stay really healthy, not let stress make me sick or have diseases. Really having a clear vision, it really helped me. So I would say, you know, food is really important, obviously, and mm-hmm. exercises too. But I mean, this guy is really the reason why I was able to, why I was able to do that and still able to do really, really cool things today.
I love that. And I love him. I think he is phenomenal. And just what he has to say too, I'm bringing up miracles. About a year ago, I read the book, A Course in Miracles, and it's all about looking for miracles in everyday life. But I think too, when we're meditating, when we're manifesting, when whatever you believe in too, it's the mindset. It's having a healthy mindset first and foremost. And that's what I think you alluded to as well. Like, the nutrition is important, the physical exercise is important, but it's also like, you can have that, but if mentally you're not taking care of yourself, that can truly impact you. And I know you read a lot, and you have mentally as well, you're really healthy. What are some things outside of Joe Dispenza have you learned mentally too that's kept you healthy?
That's kept me healthy. Well, mm-hmm. The things that I do. I mm-hmm. really try to, when I learn all the time, I love to read. And one of the books that I keep rereading is Ego is the Enemy. I actually have it right here.
Ooh, that's a very good book.
Like 4 or 5 times. And for anybody that's really looking for a book to read, I would definitely recommend this one. It just humbles you. You start realizing that sometimes you're the one who's getting on your own way with your ego when you think, oh, that job is too good for me, or you know, I'm too smart for that event, or stuff like that. That never helps you. Mm-hmm. So this book really, really keeps me sane. And like I said, I reread it every other period, just to you know, 'cause it's really easy to say, yeah, well, I've done this, I don't really need to learn that. So I don't ever want to become that person. So I would say mentally, that book really keeps me very grounded, very humble too.
I love that book. It's definitely a good one. And yeah, I think too, you know, you brought something up. It's like not staying in your comfort zone, constantly growing and learning and evolving. And even if you read something once, you might be in a different phase and period of your life where you're rereading it and seeing it in a different perspective, or something clicks a little bit differently, which can really help us grow and evolve. And it sounds like that's what this book has done for you as well.
It has. And I have been practicing something that the book teaches you. It's so this martial arts kind of multi-champion martial arts guy called Frank Shamrock, I think it is. But he came up with this plus, minus, and equal kind of theory. Mm-hmm. And I started practicing that since I moved to Miami, because I go to a lot of networking events. And mm-hmm. his theory is super cool. It's basically plus, right? So the plus, minus, equal. Each person, to become great, you have to know and have someone better than you to teach you, to learn from. And then you also have to surround yourself with people who are someone lesser than you, so you can teach them. And then you have to surround yourself with people that are equal, so you can kind of challenge yourself with them. So those three things I have been following. I always try to find someone who doesn't know as much as I do, someone who knows more than I do, and someone who's kind of on my level. And it's been life-changing, because the more you teach people, the more you really learn. And then the more you're around people that are better than you, probably you're going to become better than them. So I love that book. If you haven't tell yet.
No, I mean, it's a fantastic book. It truly is. I haven't read it in a while, but you're inspiring me to read it again. There's some books I read again and again, but this one I kind of forgot about. So I'm definitely adding it to my list this year. But I do think, you know, I love that theory too of being able to surround yourself with different types of people because it helps you grow. It just helps that perspective. And I think as entrepreneurs, we're always growing and evolving. As human beings, we're always evolving if we allow ourselves to, because I do think that's so important as well, because we can learn something from everybody. And that's how I like love that you brought that up, because I do think that's so, so important. Thank you for bringing it up. Yeah. So for you, your journey, everything that you've gone through, just being your first time entrepreneur in America, is that correct? What do you think, like starting out, was there anything that you could give advice to other people that are starting out on their journey that you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I would have known that, outside of like having a co-founder and everything that you've already mentioned, but like a little bit deeper too, I would love to know.
Oh boy, so many things. The first thing that's popping into my mind is realizing that you're not that special. I think that when you are first starting something, you think that your product is the best in the world. And you're like, nobody has had this kind of business before. It's going to be amazing. And that really, really hurts you, because you need to understand that there's tons of competition. There's tons of people doing exactly what you're doing. There's tons of people that have the same goals as you. So you can't really go start a business thinking that you're really special and that you're very unique. You need to understand that you are one little fish in the whole ocean of people trying to start their e-commerce businesses and ultimately sell them. So I would say, you know, I went in with a very naive idea of thinking, oh my God, this is so great. And then I was able to learn throughout the way, be like, okay, well, my idea wasn't that great. But after gathering all of this data, I know what's selling. So let me just transition to what the customer wants. And sometimes it's really hard to do that, because it's really easy to say, well, if they don't like my idea, well, screw them. You know, I'm going to find my tribe. And it's like, that's probably the easiest way to lose money. Follow whatever your customer wants. Give them whatever they want, not what you want to give them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense, because I do think we go into it of like, okay, this is the idea. I know, like, even in the coaching world, people are always like, well, I created this major amazing program, and it's doing your market research as well. And that's what I'm hearing from you as too, is finding out what the customer wants in order to create around that, or where the need is, because I know you are a problem solver, definitely are. And that's just a testament to what you're talking about as well. And I think it's so important to recognize when that is happening and how to navigate that. I think that just gives perspective to people too.
Yeah, definitely. It can be really hard when you're really attached and love an idea, and then the people that you're trying to advertise it, they just don't like it. You either create something that they want, or you just, you know, eat lunch by yourself with your idea and you have no customers.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of brings it back to the last 2 years of COVID and how so much changed, and the people that didn't pivot weren't able to have that success versus the people that did pivot and understanding, okay, well, the market changed. We couldn't have like brick and mortars as much because everything was closed down for a while. And like, just, I mean, e-commerce obviously is online, but still like manufacturing and everything that goes along with that, that's maybe talked about behind the scenes. Did you see any of that before you sold your company?
I did. I think now that I look back, to your point, you do have to pivot. The buy-in circle has changed a lot. It used to take 21, actually it used to take about 17 touch points, which is, you know, how your customer comes in contact with your brand. It used to take 17 of those. Now it's up to 21, and that's just in a year and a half. So you have to really think, how do I go into business and be successful? And I think some of the clients that I work with, 99.99% of them, they're amazing. They're really, they understand that they need to play the game, but there's always that 0.111% that's like, I don't want to do the TikTok. I don't want to do social media. I just want them to find me through ads. I understand that, but there's literally one touch point. Just Facebook ads don't work anymore. You have to do the whole shebang. You have to play the game. And if you don't want to play the game, I'm sorry, but unless you have some crazy Series A funding, you can't do it. You have to be in as many places as you can. Try to get to your audience as much as possible. So yeah, so that would be my answer.
No, what it sounds like to me too is just diversifying yourself, being able to be in multiple places, because not everyone's on Instagram, not everyone's on TikTok or Pinterest or all the other social media platforms outside of just like ads, because I know there's ads for all of that too, but there's just so many factors. And what do you think was the benefit for you, like as like an e-commerce entrepreneur and like everything you had to do, like what did you see worked the best for you when it came to like in the advertising world, I guess you could say?
For my brand, I only use Instagram, unfortunately. If I were to do it all over again, I would do TikTok. And people think that TikTok is just for 13-year-olds who know how to dance, and that's not TikTok now. The majority of people in there are 30 to 45-year-olds, really advertising their businesses, really trying really hard. You get insane reach. It's on Instagram, you know, if you're using Instagram, I would say don't even bother with static posts. Just do a bunch of reels, because static posts get absolutely nothing. They get no interaction. So right. I would say I would go really hard. I mean, I would go insanely aggressive, very aggressive on TikTok. Go really aggressive on Instagram reels, and go, you know, start really building the community. I think that purpose-driven brands are doing really well right now, because people are starting to understand that it's not all about me. I can support other things around me. So I think that's I like that way of purpose-driven brands rather than just profit. And actually we've seen that with, what was it? I think it was Dior. Dior did an amazing campaign. It was an interactive campaign, and it was mainly for their perfumes. And it was basically very interactive for, you know, the people, for the customer, and their sales went up insane. So Dior is a multi-million dollar company. And the beautiful thing is that with e-commerce, any little brand can become a multi-million dollar company. So don't think of Dior as like, very far away idea. It doesn't have to be.
I love that. I think too, it's like bringing, like what you said, the community back together, but really going back to the roots and like getting to know people on a human level, that human connection. Because I feel like, especially with COVID and the last 2 years, it's really kept people separate, but coming together in a way that's more powerful and really, really connecting on such a deep level. I love that. I love that. I didn't know that Dior did that, but I think that's fantastic because it's so needed. Just to remember too, like we're all human at the end of the day, but being able to, like what we were talking about, different types of people and welcoming them into the circle, they don't have to be exactly the same. And that'd be really boring, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I know. I highly agree with you.
I love that. I feel like there's so many, you have so much knowledge, but if you could give like your top three tips when it comes to just starting your business, I would love to hear them, but I also would love for everybody else to hear them too, that they could really dive into and take with them.
The top three tips. First of all, get a co-founder. I've said this and I'm going to say it all the time. Get a co-founder. Don't do it by yourself. Do not attempt to do it by yourself. It's great, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm a lone wolf. No, working in teams is amazing. The second one, I would say be in as many social places as you can be. Be in every social platform. If you don't like creating content, bad news, because you're going to have to learn how to. And you're going to have to get really comfortable, like really taking 2 days out of your week and just creating a bunch of content. The third I would say is hire someone who knows how to storytell. I think a lot of brands, they have amazing visuals and they have an amazing website that's probably too expensive for their business, and they shouldn't have spent that much money on that. but get someone that knows how to storytell, that knows how to copyright, because stories sell. Okay, people buy from people. People don't buy from brands. So if you have a great story, that cuts your marketing budget by like 60%.
Ah, no, you are absolutely right. I think that's. I love that because the storytelling, that's so true, because when you buy off of emotion, it's psychology, right? Like yeah. It's, you could have the same exact product, but based off of that story of like how you connect, and it goes back to like human connection. So spot on. Those were amazing tips. So I do have a question before we get into the rapid questions. What are you working on right now? Like, what are you doing? I know you sold your business and now you have a couple projects in the work. Is there anything you could tell us that you're up to right now?
Yeah. So I am in tech, basically. I am more on the creative side of tech. Actually, if anybody's really looking for a job in tech right now, you don't have to have really any technical skills. Tech is very vague and you can use any skill that you have to be in tech. And tech is really well funded, as everybody knows. So you will have a great paycheck. I would say right now, I just moved to Miami. And right now, Miami is probably the epicenter of everything Web3 and crypto and NFTs. Mm-hmm. I am really trying to, one, educate, right? Because my parents still don't know what I do. And it's really, really hard to explain to them exactly what I am doing here. And mm-hmm. It's funny, but at the same time, it's sad because the new generation of internet is super, super close. And I think the generation of internet that we have now, it has been led by not a lot of women. And it's not that we're not wanted in there, is that we didn't really have a lot of the information, right? And if you look at tech, there's a lot of males in there.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be like that. So now with Web3 coming, I'm trying to work with community, see exactly what women are really into. Because when it comes to tech, there's projects that men love to do and there's projects that women love to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. The internet, it's a big space and everybody can fit in. So my job and what I'm trying to work with is I'm working with this community. It's called Web3 Equity. And basically we're trying to find projects of NFT projects that really hit a certain community that have really good utility. So I'm basically working on how to create new spaces for people in the new era of the internet, and also consulting with some e-commerce projects. For brands, mainly in wellness and lifestyle. But I think my heart is really into, you know, this new place that a lot of people don't have a lot of information. You know, a lot of people don't know what NFTs are still, but a lot of people still don't own crypto or don't know how to open a wallet. They don't know that. And it's really important to know how to, because that's the future and you don't want to be left out. Being an early adapter has so many benefits. And if you're listening to this, this is your sign to start learning more about that and to start investing in crypto.
Yes, no, absolutely. I just got into crypto about a year ago, but you're absolutely right. It's being the early adopters and being able to just understand it. And now there is more information that's a little bit more easy access versus maybe a year, 2 years ago. But I love that you're in tech and I think it's amazing. And that's why I wanted to highlight it too, because I know that it's such a space that there's not a lot of females in yet. And it's not that they're not wanted. It's just more of the information piece. And I think you just brought it home so beautifully of that, because I'm excited and I can't wait to hear what else you're up to. But before I let you go, we have a bunch of questions that I love to ask so people can get to know you a little bit more underneath the surface, even though we got to know you a little bit. But are you ready for them?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Okay. So my first question is, who is your hero?
Joe Dispenza, big time. And J-Lo. And
J-Lo. Oh, I love J-Lo too. She's in Miami sometimes.
I know. I'm hoping I run into her.
She seems very nice. I've never officially met her, but she was at one of the cafes in LA with me at the same time back in the day.
What?
Yes. She was like a couple tables over.
No big deal.
No big deal. No big deal. It's an I mean, you lived in LA for a while.
Were you like having lunch and like deciding to take a picture or something? And you're like,
you know, I wanted to so bad, but she looked so like, you know, chill and I didn't want to interrupt. But it's all right. Anyways, moving on. What motivates you to work hard?
So this is a little grotesque, but my mortality, I think that it's really healthy to think about death once in a while and realize that you're not here for a long time. I definitely had my, I started realizing that barely like last year. I really thought I was going to live forever. Really sincerely, I was like, I'm never going to die. Like, no, that doesn't happen to people like me, you know? So I think that I found this doctor online. He's also an author. And he wrote something that was pretty insane. Do you want to hear it? It's about like how likely. So
absolutely.
He basically illustrates how extremely unlikely it is for us to actually be alive. So he has this crazy, crazy fact. So for example, he says, you know, the path begins with the odds of your mom meeting your dad, which is basically 1 in 20,000. And then that is multiplied by the chances of them staying together, which is staying together long enough to have a child, which is basically 1 in 2,000. And so like the probability of you existing is an insane number, which is like 1 in 10 to the power of like 20 million or like 2 million or something like that. So the odds of us being alive is basically zero. And I'm still wrapping my head around that because it's like, well, the earth is so populated. How is it that hard to really be a human? But if you put your nerd glasses on and then you start really making all of the math, you're like, well, I was not meant to be here. It's somehow happened. But I think it's good to realize that. It's good to realize that it's not a mistake. You know, you weren't born as a mistake. You were really here for something. Because it's really hard to be born. It's like actually really hard. And if you want to learn more, his name is Dr. Ali, A-L-I. He's all over the internet. He has a really, really cool Twitter.
Oh, yes. He is really, I'm like, I've seen his stuff. It's really fascinating.
It's fascinating. It's amazing.
I love that. You know, I got chills when you said like we're all here for a purpose, and I do believe that. Like everybody has a purpose in this world, and I just had a comment on that.
I can see that sometimes. I totally understand when, especially when you're really sad and depressed and things start happening. You're like, well, what's the whole point of me being here? Like, but hopefully those nerdy facts that I just told you help you understand that that's not the case.
Exactly, because we all matter. We might not see it in that moment, but we all matter in this world. Love that. So my next question is, if you were a superhero, what would be your power?
Oh, Lord. I think going back to the conversation of Web3, I think if I had a superpower, it would be to see which NFT projects or which coins are going to be really, really, really good so I can buy them really early.
That would be good. Well, if you have that power, let me know.
Like insider trading, but not illegal.
We'll emphasize that.
Yes, insider trading. I am not. Sometimes. Oh Lord.
So my next question is: if you could share a meal with four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
It would be J-Lo. It would be probably, oh my gosh. Oh Lord. Okay, it would be J-Lo. Then it would probably be Joe. Then it would be Britney Spears.
Oh, okay.
We all want to hear the tea.
Always, yeah.
And then probably I don't know, like family member that passed away or something.
Seems like it would be a very entertaining meal.
Yeah.
A lot of stories.
I would hope so.
A lot of music. I love that. That would be a really fun meal. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
You know, I try to get, I try to get rejected a lot because I think that it's really important. So like, for example, anytime I go shopping, I always ask for a discount, or anytime I go out somewhere, I ask if I can sit somewhere else, like at a restaurant, and then they try to sit you this in this table, and then I'm like, I don't want to sit here, let me just sit over there, because sometimes they tell you no, and then you just get really used to that, especially if you're trying to do cool things with your life, just know you're going to get rejected a lot, so might as well just kind of start getting used to that.
Oh, that's a powerful answer, because I really think, especially like just being an entrepreneur or just in life, like there's so much rejection, but like when you get comfortable with it, it can change your world.
Exactly. And you're never going to be 100% comfortable, right?
Because getting
it's terrible. I don't like it. But the more you realize that happens all the time to everyone, especially the people that are really successful, then you start understanding, I should probably start getting used to that too.
Yeah. It's like what you do. You don't stop. When you hear the no, you continue forward, is what I'm hearing from you.
Crying a little, but I still do.
But you still get through it, you know? Yeah. It makes us stronger. That human factor again.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is the phone app that you use the most?
Instagram.
I mean, it's a popular app, you know?
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
I've heard it's good, you know. I use it once in a while, like every day. I love that. So I know we've already talked about books, but what is the last book you have read?
Oh my gosh, what is it? I think it's how to win and influence people. I think.
Ooh, that's a good one. I love that book. I've read that a few times.
That I keep rereading because you understand different parts of the book as you like go through different things in your life. You're like, oh, that's what it meant.
Yes, absolutely. Another great book recommendation. I like love this because I've been getting all my book recommendations of like, okay, I need to reread this again because I've read that one about 3 or 4 times, but I should add that again to my list. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I would love for Penelope Cruz to play me because I think she would kill it. And she's so funny, and I don't know. I think she could make me look way cooler than I am.
I'm sure it would be equal.
No, that girl can make anything look cool. So I'd be like, yes, you take your personality and just like add your little sparkles and sass to it.
I love that. That would be an entertaining movie.
Yeah. Right.
I could see that actually. I could. What is your family, like your favorite family recipe?
You know, I think my grandma used to make this really good avocado whip with some lemons. And I don't know, maybe the ingredients were different because I grew up in Peru. Maybe they were just more fresh, but it tastes so amazing. And I just can't get to that point of taste. But I would say, you know, If I was like, the way I think about these questions is like, what would be the answer if I was in like death row? Like really? Cause then I can really get to really what my heart will desire. And if I were to be on death row, I would want to have that whip like before I die. And then, you know, just have like a lot of champagne and then just electrocute me or something. But I would do the avocado whip.
I mean, it sounds delicious. I love avocado. So I'm like, what's the recipe?
I don't know what she did to it. I mean, I really don't know what she did, but she had a lot of things happening. She saw in some kind of oil. And I mean, it was amazing. And I can't get to it because I barely know how to cook, but I would do that.
Oh, I mean, that sounds delicious. I would like definitely want that because anything avocado. Very cool. I haven't heard about like the whip though, but that I'm going to like try to find a recipe like that because it sounds really delicious. Yeah. Okay. If you were to describe yourself as an animal, like personality wise, what would it be? What animal?
I would say it would be an elephant. I love elephants. Elephants, they run their, you know, families by their moms, by the females in the family. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a feminist per se, but mm-hmm. I do like, you know, how the female elephants run their families. They, mm-hmm. they're very strict, but they're very loving. And mm-hmm. they do give the little baby elephants a lot of independence to kind of learn how to, live in the wilderness. So I would say I love elephants. Plus, I think that every woman has a little elephant in her because we never forget anything. We always bring things up from like 3 years ago that mm-hmm. our partners have absolutely forgotten. We're like, remember that one time? And it's like 4 years ago. So elephants have an amazing, amazing memory. Mm. So I would say, yeah, elephants.
I love that. And I do think like elephants, they're such beautiful animals too. Like, I feel like they're just, you feel their love. I've never actually been like up close with one, but just from like what the stories I've heard too. So
yeah.
Strong, independent woman. So if you had, if you were having a bad day, what's one thing that instantly makes your day better?
I really like to dance. I really like dancing, but I would say I just put Dancing Queen by ABBA like on repeat, and I just dance to that, and then it just makes me feel better.
It's just like, it really does like motivate you, and it releases so much like stress and anything that like is built up. I feel like it just allows you to like release that.
yeah, definitely.
Well, dancing is dancing queen. What is your favorite way to spend your day off? Like, if you have a day off, or just like where you don't have to work, you don't have to do anything, what does that look like?
I am a big brunch person. I love brunch. I love daytime activities. I love going to a biodynamic winery. Make their wines like really healthy and stuff. I love wineries. I love brunches. I really, really love, you know, reading books. I love the beach. I love working out. But yeah, I would say brunch with my friends. I really like my friends, hanging out with people that I love. And what else? I mean, yeah, that would be it. That would be mm-hmm.
I love that. Sounds like a beautiful day off.
Yeah, definitely.
And my last question, at least for these, is from an outsider's perspective, what's somebody that like would know, like wouldn't know about your industry? What is something they wouldn't know?
I would say that people think that e-com entrepreneurs, or just really any entrepreneur, they work for themselves. They think, oh, well, you work for yourself, you have your own business. But the truth is, you're working really for your customer. Your customer becomes the main person in your life. And so if you're not in the industry to make someone's life better, to create a solution for a problem, then probably won't go that well. So mm-hmm. I would say it's really glamorized to, you know, be an e-commerce entrepreneur, just like an entrepreneur by itself, but it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And you're mm-hmm. really, it's your customer and probably like your employees and then your family and then you.
It's the bottom line, right? Like how everything lines up and the funnel of it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, my final question is, how can people find you to follow you and what you're up to? So let everybody know. I'll definitely link it below, but if you could let us know.
Yeah, you can follow me and find me on Instagram at Alexandra Checa with two X's. And then all my website as well, which is alexandracheca.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on today. I'm so glad we had this opportunity and for people to meet you and understand what e-commerce entrepreneur is, but also just to get to know you a little bit better. Definitely go ahead and follow her. She's always posting amazing stories and just full of knowledge. So make sure to follow her.
Thank you so much. It was so good to see you again.
Well, thank you. And make sure to like, subscribe, and comment below what you found the most fascinating.